Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message continues our series on the epistles with 1st and 2nd Timothy. The scripture reading is 1 Timothy 1, 1-11. Thank you to Glynis, Amy, Gloria, Ed, and Dawn for being part of the video. Happy birthday this week to Daniel S. and Connie M.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone. Please come on in and have a seat. We got lots of places to sit, and I wish you a good morning as well if you're listening online. So it's so good to see everyone this morning. It's so good to see lots of people visiting from out of town, and we welcome you to Beamsville, new friends, old friends, people we haven't seen in a while. Today, I have to tell you, today is such a glorious day, but I'm so grateful for the rain that we had. I'm glad we had more than was expected, because that was, it was kind of a dry spell. I had to be watering my garden. I am a huge lover of peonies, and my peonies are probably about this high this year. And because we had lots of rain at the beginning, and then that dry spell, things started to grow. I'm especially grateful, and I know this sounds kind of crazy, but we were away in Ireland for a few weeks, and I was afraid that all my lilacs and all my peonies would be all burst before I got back home. And ever since we got home, of course, you all had all that rain, which was great for the gardens, and it's been so lovely and cool. Now, I am a person who loves cool springs because all the flowers last longer. So I got to see the magnolia trees. They were still in blossom, and some of my daffodils were still winking hello to me. So I'm so grateful for the cool spring, and I know not everybody's with me on that one, but I'm happy for it, and definitely I'm looking forward to my peonies blooming. Makes me happy in my heart. We have some birthdays this week. Stephen, Seth, Barbara S., and it's going to be Dawn and Barb's anniversary this week, so congratulations to you. Unfortunately, John R. has suffered a back injury, and so we want to pray for swift healing for him. And Mike's friend Roy is scheduled to have some major abdominal surgery for cancer this week. On May 31st. And so we'll pray for that as well. Okay, if you join me in a word of prayer. Dearest Lord God, it is so beautiful to see the sunshine outside and to see the sunshine in here as we look at each other's smiling faces. God, it truly is a blessing to be part of a great community, and we're so grateful that we can gather together in praise of your Son and of you and all the glorious things that you do for us. We know that so often we are completely unaware of all of the amazing things that you have done for us. We'll never know. Well, hopefully when we get to heaven, we'll know. But all of the things that you've saved us from. And we're so grateful for that. God, we love you. We pray that you will be pleased with our worship of you today. And we thank you so much for giving us life and for allowing us to love you, for inviting us into your heart and into a relationship with you. God, we love you, and we pray your blessing on our service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Unlike the previous two people, I have nothing to say about Ireland, so, but I am slightly jealous. About a month ago, I heard a sermon that had a single line that has been rattling around in my brain ever since. And it was, the Old Testament priests had two jobs. It was to bless the people and to intercede on their behalf. And we, as the modern church, have those same two jobs. This has been rattling around in my head because I was like, if I have two jobs, I should know what they are. I should know a little bit about them. And I should be thinking about those. Sometimes we use blessing and intercession like they're interchangeable words, but looking back at the Old Testament, they're two different things, and both are important. So an Old Testament blessing was a declaration of happiness or good things or praise or encouragement into somebody's life. In Old Testament times, that was often, I hope that you have offspring that will cover the whole earth, or things about your livestock or your harvest, which don't necessarily translate to modern blessings. But the blessings came from a knowledge that God is at work and that we are finding our purpose in Him. Old Testament blessings were serious business. Jacob and his mother worked together to steal Esau's blessing. And once that blessing was stolen, it was gone. Esau couldn't get an additional blessing because the blessing was a one-time thing. These were considered really important things. In New Testament, blessing often came with action, where we are supporting the poor and the widows and the orphans and those who are on the fringes of our society, not just speaking blessing into their life, but bringing physical, tangible goods into their life and supporting them financially and with food. So, if one of our jobs as the modern church is to bless, who will you bless this week? Who will you declare happiness and good things into their life? Who will you declare the knowledge that God is at work and that you hope that they find peace and purpose in Him? Who are you taking that to this week? The second task of the Old Testament priests was intercession. And intercession had a lot of blood and a lot of sacrifice and a lot of gross things happening. And I think we often go to the type of intercession that has to do with sin. But there are actually five types of sacrifice that could happen. And three of them were actually optional. The first type of intercession that the priests would do on behalf of the people was worship. The second was thanksgiving, was to say, these good things have come from God, and I am declaring to God that we are thankful. The third was peace. The fourth was a sin offering, and these ones were required. And then the fifth was a trespass offering, which were also required. Sin and trespass we often use as interchangeable words, but they mean different things. A sin is, I intentionally did this thing. I was angry, and I pushed you over, and you broke your hip. Trespass is an unintentional thing. I wasn't paying attention, and I bumped you over, and you fell over, and you broke your hip. Both have the same result for you. Both do harm in our world. One I intended, one I did not intend, but both I need to make right. Sometimes when we talk to children, and we say, oh, you need to say sorry, they will say, but I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to do that, so I don't need to make this right. I didn't mean to. It's not my fault. I didn't mean to. Whether I meant to push you over or I accidentally pushed you over, I need to make that right in a variety of ways, not just saying, oops, I'm sorry, but also waiting for the ambulance with you and maybe making you a casserole or three. I have some things that I need to do to intercede there. We think of children saying, oh, it wasn't my fault, I didn't mean to. But how often do we do this as adults too? We say a thing, and weeks later, or months later, or years later, we hear that somebody took that and took it as harm, and have been holding that as harm. And we say, oh, you're too sensitive. Oh, this sounds like a you problem. I didn't mean it like this. We still need to make peace. We still need to make intercession. So thinking as our role as a church, interceding on behalf of the people in our lives, who do you worship for this morning? Who do you give thanks for this morning? Who do you seek peace for this morning? And whose sins and trespasses do you bring before God this morning? Jesus was the ultimate high priest. He brought blessing and intercession on our behalf. The cross is the absolute declaration of knowledge that God is at work and that we are finding purpose in Him. It is the ultimate intercession, not just for our sins, not just for our trespasses, but on behalf of our peace and our thanksgiving and a glorious act of worship. God, we worship you this morning. We declare that you are God of this universe, that you are creator and we are not, and that we are created in your image and that we are to be your hands and feet in this world. God, we give you thanksgiving. for all of the good things that you bring into our lives, but we also give you thanksgiving for the trials and the things that we struggle through. God, we ask for peace in this place, in our homes, in our relationships, in our community. God, we bring our sins before you, those things that we have done in anger, those things that we have done intentionally to harm others, to harm ourselves, and to harm you. And God, we bring our trespasses before you, those unintentional hurts that we have caused in our world. God, we ask that you reveal those to us so that we can make peace where we need to make peace and that we can be at peace. Thank you for all that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning's reading is taken from 1 Timothy 1, verses 1 to 11. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is to love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they're talking about or what they so confidently affirm. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being with us. And for those who are in faraway places and will get this message, we're so grateful that for wherever you are in the world, that you can hear the message of Jesus. And we're grateful for that. Today, I'm going to be looking at, as we continue with our series of the epistles, I'm going to be looking at 1 and 2 Timothy. And what's fascinating to me, very, very interesting to me, is that even though Timothy has two books named after him, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, it's very interesting to me that Timothy doesn't say one word. In the book of 1 Timothy, he doesn't say a word, but it's his book. 2 Timothy, he's silent, doesn't say a word. But it's Paul, his father in the faith, if you will, who is instructing Timothy, here's how to be a preacher. Here's how to be a teacher. Here's how to instruct. And so what I want to do today, if it's all right with you, as if you have any choice, I really want to just take a look at a couple of excerpts from 1 and 2 Timothy. So I'm not going to be reading the entire two books, of course, but I'm just going to highlight on a couple of things that I hope would be helpful. For the Apostle Paul, he has one particular theme in mind. In all of his writings, there is one particular theme, and that is Jesus. Jesus is everything. Take Jesus out of the world, nothing exists. All things were made by him and for him and through him. As each of us, he knew us before we were born. and he knows us now. And so what Timothy is writing, he's writing to several churches, and he's wanting them to know important facts, helping them to be strong in the Lord. And so here's what he says. I urged you when I went into Macedonia. He's talking to Timothy. This is Paul talking to Timothy. I urged you when I went to Macedonia to stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than good work, God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love. Now imagine a young man, Timothy. His mother is a believer. His grandmother is a believer. We know nothing about Timothy's father. And this young man is being commissioned by the Apostle Paul to go in and preach and teach, a very young man. Well, I wonder how that went across. I wonder how well that communicated. So what we have is Paul writing to Timothy, helping him. Here's what you should say, depending on the situation. So I'm going to go all the way down to verse 12 of 1 Timothy. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to this service. Even though I once was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Now, you may remember that the Apostle Paul, before he was an Apostle Paul, did not believe. But when he became a Christian, his entire life changed. And I think for many of us, we can say the same. He said, I thank Jesus Christ, who has given me strength, considered me faithful, appointing to this service. And then in verse 15, he says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst of sinners. Paul never forgot how he used to live. But Paul always remembers how he now lives because of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit working mightily in his life. And I think that's the same for us. We have God in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have Jesus in us. We have the scriptures reminding us, teaching us, sharing. Even though the gospel was written some 2,000 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was back there. And he says, so I cried out, saying that I was the worst of sinners. And then he says these great words. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and forever. Amen. Well, if I was writing the book, I'd end it right there. But he continues. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, you may fight the good fight, holding on to the faith. Holding on to the faith and a good conscience. Because some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. So Paul is saying to Timothy, help them to get back. Help them to get back. And then he talks about instructions in worship. And again, this is going back 2,000 years ago. And he says this, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, and intercession and thanksgiving is made for everyone. And then he says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, and it's that man, Jesus Christ. And it's the same for us today. Who intervenes for us? Jesus. Always. Always. And I'm going to go all the way over to chapter 4. And he gives these instructions to Timothy. And I'd like to think these instructions are important for us. Because at the top of my Bible, I wrote this to myself, for myself. So one day when I become very old and feeble and forget everything, I'm going to read this. And I'm going to remember this. And here's what it says in my Bible that I wrote down. Stay strong. Never abandon faith in Jesus, because Jesus never abandons us in faith. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some people will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things caught by demons. Such teachings come from hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They go so far that they forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from not eating certain foods, which God created in advance. For everything God created is good. For everything God created is good. And so he says, have nothing to do with godless myths and so forth, but pursue a life of godliness. And they said, this is a trustworthy service, that saying that deserves full acceptance, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially for those who believe. And if you're here today or hearing this message sometime, ask yourself the question, how's my belief? Does it change my life? Am I growing in faith? Do I have as much belief in God as God has in me? And you know that God has belief in each one of us. We are his children. And so he talks about to this church that is kind of struggling back and forth. And he talks about the love of money and how that could be great and how it could be horrible. He said, anyone who teaches false doctrines does not agree with the instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to the godly teaching, he's conceited, understands nothing. He has unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words, and they result in envy and strife. We don't want to live that way. We just don't want to live that way. For the love of money is the root of all evil and all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And so the last part of 1 Timothy is interesting. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have wandered away in the faith. And then early this morning, I wrote these words down. Donnie, stay in the faith. Donnie, don't wander from the faith. Donnie, pursue faith. Donnie, love faithfulness. Love faithfulness. So there's Timothy, and then from there, we go on to 2 Timothy, and it's chock full of instruction. And there's going to be a word that's going to be repeated and repeated and repeated. Here we go. I'm going to begin in verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but God gave each one of us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed. Have you ever wanted to share the gospel with someone, but you just felt like you couldn't do it? Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or be ashamed of me, Paul, as a prisoner, but join with me in the suffering of the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life. See, in Canada, we are so fortunate. It doesn't matter to people if we're a Christian or not. It doesn't really matter. But there are places in this world where you don't dare use that word. It's incredible, isn't it? That the world has advanced in so many ways, and yet you must be very careful of whom you speak. And to speak the word Jesus for us is blessings. Other parts of the world, not so much. But he says, don't worry about that. For God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but of the spirit of power. God will be with us. So don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of me as a prisoner, because Paul was in prison because of his faith. But join with me in the suffering of the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us, listen, and he has called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And this grace was given us in Christ Jesus, listen now, before the beginning of time. Before God created anything, he gives grace to us. And he continually gives grace. So he says, it's now been revealed through the appearing of time, but has now been revealed through the passages of time. And then in verse 10, he says, but now been revealed through the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality through the gospel. In this gospel, I was appointed as a herald. And then he says, I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day, same for us. And what you've heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching. Don't wander from that. With faith and love in Christ Jesus, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. This might be a personal question, and you don't have to answer it out loud. When was the last time you talked to the Holy Spirit? It's okay to talk to God. It's okay to talk to Jesus. But somehow we kind of forgot. God the Father, God the Son, God the, help me, Holy Spirit. When was the last time you talked to the Holy Spirit? He said, may the Lord show mercy. And he lists a number of people. Show mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, because he's often refreshed me, listen to this again, and was not ashamed of my chains. So in the book of 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy was very much instruction. 2 Timothy does have some instruction, but it's more emotional. It's more of an appeal. It's more of the understanding of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. But he continually reminds Christians, and I think it's relevant for us today, don't be ashamed. When you have an opportunity to share without being rude or forceful, we can share. We can share Jesus Christ. So he says, do your best to present yourself as God, one approved, and does not need to be ashamed, but handles the word of God correctly. And then he says this, pursue righteousness, pursue faith, pursue love, pursue peace along with all who call on the name of the Lord. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. The word stupid is in the Bible. Because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant mustn't quarrel. Just don't do it. But he said, it's not always going to be easy. Because in chapter 3, there will be terrible times, he said, in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, not lovers of good. We don't want to have anything to do with that. And we all have bad days, but we don't want to be like this. And so he says, you, however, know all about my teaching. You know about my way of life. You know about my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance. But you also know about my persecutions. What kind of things happened to me at Antioch and Iconium? In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Is that really in the Bible? In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. How many of us want to live a godly life? Yeah, we do. So, we can't be upset when things go against us. Maybe some things are said about us. Maybe this happens. Maybe that happens. We understand. We understand what Jesus went through. And so he says, so hang on to the scripture that you've learned. Hold on to teaching. Do all of these things in good word. And then in chapter 4, he says, preach the word. Do it in a variety of ways. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. But it may not be what God is saying. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, Timothy, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. And then Paul says these words, and it must have cut Timothy's heart because he relied so much, Timothy did, on Paul. He said this, Paul speaking, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering. And the time has come for my departure. Paul has been in prison so many times, in a jail, out of jail, in jail, out of jail. It was almost like the guards weren't surprised to see him. In jail, out of jail, simply because he's preaching the gospel. But Paul knew that one day his life was going to be taken. I think he looked forward to it. Not necessarily how he was going to be taken away from this world, but the fact that he's going to be with God. He's going to look Jesus in the eyes. And if there's hugging in heaven, I think it's going to happen. This beautiful, beautiful, I'm ready to go. Lay on me whatever you want. Persecution, say what you want to say, do what you want to do. I'm ready. I'm ready to be poured out like a drink offering. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to have longed his appearing. We don't have any instruction, or we have no history of how Paul died. But many scholars look back and said, he was in jail and out of jail, in jail, out of jail. We finally got to get rid of this guy. We just have to get rid of this guy. And so they did. Most scholars suggest that they just took him outside of Rome on the Appian Way, kind of a highway, off. And there he was executed. But I don't think he was so much executed. I think he was elevated. When he opened his eyes on the other side, he saw the one. He looked into the eyes of Jesus. And I think Jesus said, "Welcome home." One day, you and I look into the eyes of Jesus, and he'll say, "Welcome home." Amen.
Well, one day I was golfing, and this fella, I'm playing with people I don't know, and one of the questions you always get is, so what do you do for a living? Where do you work? Oh, I teach school at Great Lakes Christian High School. Oh, he says. He comes up into my personal near space. And he's got a cigar. He draws in, blows smoke on my face, taps me on the chest. And he says, "I just want you to know that when we play golf, we cuss and swear and tell dirty stories." Why was he saying that? He was saying that because he knows I'm a Christian and that I would judge him for that. Little does he know, I have no room or space in my life to judge anybody, because at the root of my person, I am a pathetic sinner. I may be not sinning the way he is, but I am sinning. Well, you know what? We can gather as a church, and we can study the Bible, and Donna's touched down on some beautiful things in these two books. And we can be challenged by that. I am not better than him, but because of Jesus, I'm better than I used to be. And I hope that's true for all of us, that as we struggle with this experience of Jesus, that we can say that we're better than we used to be. But in the final analysis, the thing that gives me the most joy is that I know my name is written there. That's where we should be. And we go forth with the words of the song, "May our homes be filled with dancing. May our streets be filled with joy." We go out. The church has met, but the church leaves the building. And this is where the real living and the real sharing of the gospel goes, as we go with our words and our deeds and our frailties. But we go with confidence and courage because our name is written there. I would invite you to stand as we sing this last song.
Please pray with me. Dear Spirit, who strengthens us, who buoys us, who sometimes gives us crazy ideas that are so not from us. They're filled with righteousness, and they're filled with good intent, and they're filled with strength and hope and peace. God, the Spirit that you've given us is so amazing. And I pray that your Spirit will fill us, and that we can have the courage to open our hearts to feel the Spirit's prodding, upbuilding, buoying, just respond to the call, to the encouragement, to the peace, God. And I pray that we can just be filled with love, be filled with your love, be filled with your peace, be filled with your blessing. God, be filled with the jobs that Amy told us, reminded us, inspired us to do. God, we're so grateful. God, thank you so much for this amazing service. God, help us to be your hands and feet in this world. God, we love you. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go have an amazing week.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.